take our Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 12. The book of Numbers, chapter 12. We have been systematically looking at the life of Moses. We've been doing messages on the life of Moses. We have seen the early training of Moses. He was raised with parents that after they had to give away their child, God returned him again, him to the home, so that Moses' mother could take care of him until he was weaned. Then, of course, he grew up, and at the age of 40, he made a choice. And so we looked at the choice of Moses. And then, of course, after he made this choice to choose to be with the people of God, as opposed to enjoying the pleasures of Egypt, the scripture tells us that he fled, and then, of course, he had his next 40 years of training. And that speaks of the time that Moses was in the wilderness. But then after 40 more years, or should say 80 altogether, when Moses was 80 years of age, there was a call of God, and it was at the burning bush. And then, of course, in that call, Moses, when he realized he was the one that was to be used of God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, he started making excuses. So we looked at the excuses of Moses. We then looked at the surrender of Moses to God's call, because finally he said, "Yes, Lord." And so we looked at that study. The seventh message we preached on was Moses, the man who stood with God. And one of the things that we saw was that when Moses was in Egypt, he took a stand for the things of God, even though the Pharaoh did not appreciate it. And certainly we need to take a stand for God when the world is going against us. We saw, eighthly, that we saw the faith of Moses. And Moses certainly had faith. We looked at that from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we looked specifically at three areas in which Moses had faith. Number nine, we looked at the leadership of Moses. And we looked at that last week, and how that Moses was a leader. And we went through 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13, and we saw the various circumstances in which Moses had to lead. Now I want to focus on one situation that happens in the life of Moses tonight. So I want to preach tonight on the meekness of Moses. The meekness of Moses. Now, we're told in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 16, to the end of the chapter, we see that Moses is meek. So I want us to first of all look at the nature of Moses' weakness. Secondly, we're going to look at the test of Moses' meekness. And then thirdly, we'll see the response of Moses' meekness. And then finally, the imitation of Moses' meekness, which hopefully we can imitate that quality of the scripture, that which is called meekness. So first of all, let's look at the nature of Moses' meekness, his meekness. Chapter 12, verse 3, tells us a very interesting thing about the life of Moses. Understanding, after 80 years and finally getting out into the wilderness, we see this verse. Verse 3, "The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, I want you to think about that. He was meek above all the people that were on the earth. Now, if I were to have asked you to come up and speak on meekness, what would you say? Do you know what it means to be meek? It's a word that is sometimes very difficult for us from a human standpoint to understand it. Some people would say humility. Well, humility is not meekness, though humility leads to meekness. Some would say lowliness or gentleness. Well, again, those are some characteristics of a meek person. So someone else could say, well, it's self-control. Well, it's possible to have self-control and not be meek. So what does it mean? And that's why I entitled this first point, the nature of Moses' meekness. Now, I've spent a lot of time because I wanted to make sure I understood this idea of meekness. Now, it is important that we understand, and of course, if you've ever heard any messages on meekness, one of the things you're going to hear said, meekness is not weakness. Okay? So, now, I guess that's just kind of catchy, but that's true. As a matter of fact, Vine, in his definition of words, says that the word meekness is not readily expressed in English, for the terms meekness, mildness, commonly used, suggest weakness and lack of courage. To a greater or less extent, meekness does nothing of the kind. So in other words, we're not talking about some wimpy person who just kind of just says, okay, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you know, that kind of a thing. No, we're not talking about a weak, mealy-mouthed individual. We are talking about something totally different from that. So we ask the question then, okay, what is meekness? I have a book that's a very hard book to read when you don't know the Greek language very well. So I have to actually get on Google and look up some of these Greek words. And it's called Trench's Synonyms of the New Testament. And he, in conclusion of that section, and he's comparing the synonym of humility and meekness. And this is what he concluded. He said, meekness is that temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings, talking about God, with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. It is closely linked with the word humility and follows directly upon it. That's why you'll hear and see words in the Scripture, He is meek and lowly. But he points out, it is the humble heart which is meek and which as such does not fight against God, more or less struggle and contend with Him. And so, in other words, meekness does have a surrender, if you will, to God. And interestingly enough, we find that, you know, many times God brings circumstances in our lives, and if we're not careful, we can resist God over this. And yet, we're told that Jesus was meek, and when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, His natural earthly flesh as a man, He said to God, God, would You be willing to any other way to allow Your plan of salvation to take place? And then Jesus says this, not My will, but Thine will. So Thy will. So in other words, what we find is this is a surrender. And so sometimes what happens is God has to bring us to the point where we are finally saying to God, yes, Lord, whatever is happening in my life, I surrender to that. That's meekness. And of course, we mentioned that Moses, after 80 years of age, came to that point. And if you remember, we pointed out, I think it was a quote by Moody that said that the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was a somebody. He was a very important person in Egypt. But then God had to make Moses recognize he was a nobody. So for the next 40 years of Moses' life, he's out in the desert, and recognizing the fact that he was not worthy. It was interesting because that's why we saw about the excuses of Moses. Moses was basically saying, God, I can't do that. And I could almost hear God in response say, about time you learned that. And the point is, meekness is toward God is something that God has to bring us to that point. Maybe you've heard it said that sometimes a person has to get to the bottom of the barrel before they look up. And have you ever noticed that? Sometimes a person has to come to the end of themselves to finally say, I need help. And that's why the Apostle Paul made the comment in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that when I am weak, then am I strong. Because Paul, if you remember in 2 Corinthians 12, he was struggling with pride in his life. He was a very usable guy. He was a very intelligent man. And yet, God showed him some visions. And he points out in 2 Corinthians 12, lest I become proud in my this exaltation or being exalted because I saw these visions, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And when he brought that thorn in his flesh, he recognized after three occasions of praying, God, please remove this thorn from me. Then God responds and says, you know, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so God had brought Moses to the point where he recognized, you know, I'm not as sharp and as smart and as able as I thought I was. Because at the age of 40, he decided to take matters in his own hand and start to try to deliver the children of Israel. And it just made a mess and he ended up running for his life. You know, some people are at the point where they almost lose their health, or they may lose and may actually lose their money. Sometimes people get to the point where they're at a point where they're about or do lose their family. Or maybe you've come to the point where you've lost your testimony. And so you realize maybe, you know, I'm not as good and not as strong as I thought I was. And so when you get to that point, what ends up happening is you stop resisting God. And you finally say, God, I need help. And meekness is an attitude toward God and say, God, I am no longer wanting to fight you. Now, it's also very interesting in studying this word meekness, and I'm going to continue reading the quote from Trench in his Synonyms of the New Testament. He said, this meekness, however, being first of all a meekness before God, is also such in the face of men. Even of evil men, of a sense that these evil people with the insults and injuries that they may inflict, and I come to the conclusion, and I'm asserting these words, I'm coming to the conclusion that God permitted these and employed them for my good. So we can fight God in things going on in my life, but I can also fight other people who are bringing bad things into my life. And it's interesting that the opposite of meekness is self-assertiveness, self-interest, that is neither elated nor cast down. You know, a person who is meek is not going to be proud. So when a person is meek, they have to sometimes come to the point, you know, God brought this person's trouble in my life for His glory. And the crowd says, Amen. But our soul says, oh me. Because I don't like that. It's easy to blame shift. You say, well, I'm not mad at God, I'm just mad at this person. Now, meekness is truly an acceptance of God's will in my life when somebody does something against me. Now, of course, we could go to the Scripture and we could see a couple illustrations of that. One of them I'm thinking of is in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 16. And in that chapter, we're told that King David, remember his son, tried to overtake him. And he was leaving Jerusalem being chased by his own son, Absalom. And there was a man named Shimei. And Shimei was throwing rocks at David. And the leadership said to David, let's go kill that guy. And you know what David says? David said, what have I to do with you? Speaking of those who were suggesting this. Let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Now, in other words, David said, I believe Shimei is being used of God to torture me and to mock me and to laugh at me and to throw rocks at me. At least in that situation, we find that David was practicing meekness. And of course, we've already mentioned the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, He was meek and lowly. Now, interestingly enough, when Jesus was taken to be crucified, the Bible tells us that Jesus could have called thousands of angels. But He meekly allowed those people to hit Him, to ridicule Him. And the Scripture tells us He spoke not a word. Now, that brings us to this attitude of meekness. Meekness is, someone has said, it's kind of like strength under control. Now, Jesus was under control. But He was much stronger than those people hurting Him. Kind of like your vehicle. You know, if you drive an automobile, you realize there's a lot of power in that automobile. You could hurt somebody with that. The terrorists know about that. But if you are not in control of that engine, it could hurt you. The word meekness, now stay with me on this, the word meekness really is a word that sometimes has been used with animals, particularly wild animals. And a wild animal, you take a wild animal and you tame it. And that wild animal could hurt you if it was not tamed. So the Scripture tells us that this idea of meekness is, in a sense, saying, okay, yes, I know that everything is working against me, but I'm not going to fight God over it. nor am I going to fight you over it. Now that doesn't mean that Moses didn't have strength, because there's times when Moses had to take some strong positions. Because when it came to God, Moses said, I'm not going to tolerate this. And he could get very angry. But when it came to personal vindictiveness, the Bible tells us that he was the most meek person on the planet. So, and as long as you think you have everything under control, you will, in your pride, forfeit meekness. You'll become unteachable. You will resist authorities. You will fight people. And you'll have an attitude, how dare that person treat me like that? Now that doesn't mean you allow wrong to be done. But you see the bigger picture that God's involved in this. This is meekness. It's acceptance of God's will in your life. The second thing I want you to see is not only the nature of Moses' meekness in verse 3 of chapter 12. Notice the test of his meekness. It's easy to say, I think I'm meek. Well, the reason why God tells us how meek he was is because he was under a test. In verse 1, the scripture tells us Miriam. Now, who is Miriam? Miriam is his older sister. If you remember, it was Miriam that when Moses was in the river, she was the one that followed Jesus as a little baby to make sure the princess took care of him. So here's Miriam. And then we have Moses' older brother, Aaron. Miriam was the prophetess who sang after the Exodus in chapter 15 of Exodus. And she, then Aaron was who? He was the high priest. Now, interestingly enough, we're told that they had two problems, but I think really one. But the initial problem was probably something that was the thing that bothered them. Because of what we see in the second problem. The first problem was that they were complaining about Moses having married an Ethiopian woman. And interestingly enough, this foreigner, and my footnote in my study Bible says this could refer to Zipporah or it could be a second wife. But nonetheless, they didn't like it. Now, one commentary I was reading said, well, maybe because of Zipporah being gone for so much time, because if you remember, Moses went into Egypt without her, and maybe at that time, maybe Miriam took over the responsibilities of Moses, looking after her little brother. But now Zipporah comes back, and now all the attention is given to his wife. Now, that could be the issue. But we do know that they were jealous of her. But ultimately, the big problem was, verse 2, they used this and said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? In other words, they were saying, you know, I think we're just as important as you are, Moses. You know, you're getting all this attention, you're getting all this this honor. I mean, shouldn't we get some of that? And maybe there was a hesitancy. You know, you're just still our little brother. You're always going to be our little brother. Well, the scripture tells us that there was this jealousy by his siblings. Now, we talk about sometimes getting along with people, but sometimes those closest to us hurt us the most. Now, why is that? I mean, sometimes I wonder, why is it that, you know, we can go to work and show respect to the people that work for us and talk to them kindly, but we come home and we speak in a negative, harsh tone to those that are in our home. I remember one time helping somebody move. None of you would know who this is, but I went to help this person move, and the husband said, "Yeah, come on in." And as we were walking up the stairs, his wife went, "No, no, 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 no." You know, she started nagging him. And he let her do it until we got to the top, and there's the pastor. Now, she ended up changing her tone of voice. But you know, this kind of thing happens all the time. And sometimes those closest to us hurt us, whether they be parents or whether they be children or maybe our husband or maybe our wife or maybe our friends. And above all things, other Christians in our church. They say things and do things that hurt. Well, this is when we see verse 3. Now, Moses was the meekest man on planet Earth. Now, I can say, you know, you're the meekest person I've ever met. But when God says that, that's saying a lot. So we see not only the nature of Moses' meekness and the test of his meekness, but thirdly, notice the response of Moses' meekness. Now, of course, we're told in verse 4, the very end of that verse, the end of that verse, "And the Lord heard it." Now, we can always be assured of that. The Lord hears everything we do. He knows every thought. He knows every attitude. And of course, in this case, he's listening to the meekest man on planet Earth being attacked by his brother and sister. So we're told in verse 4, "So the Lord verbally spake unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. It's kind of like, okay, I'll see you in my office. All right? We need to have a little talk. And in verse 5, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth." In verse 6, "And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision." Now that's quite the thing, isn't it? You know, that God speaks to these prophets. And for instance, we studied the book of Zechariah, and we saw that there were several visions that God gave Zechariah. And God said, when I want to speak to a prophet, I'll use visions. And we'll maybe speak to them at the end of verse 6 in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. Wow, this tells us there was something very special about Moses. No wonder God took 80 years of his life to get him to where he needed to be. He is faithful in all mine house. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for the Lord to say to us? Now, with him, verse 8, I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches, I speak very clearly to him. And the similitude of the Lord shall behold. Wherefore, then, and here's the thing, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, Moses doesn't defend himself, but God defends Moses. And we're told that God says, verse 9 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Now, think about this. You know, I can gossip about somebody. I can be vindictive towards someone. I can be very angry at somebody. And the Lord hears that. And we can be sure of this. The Lord says, weren't you afraid to speak against that person like that? And it's interesting that there are people who don't think twice about talking back to their parents. And God says, don't do that. Or tearing down their children. God says, don't do that. I hear that. Have you not considered what I said in thy word, in my word, God says? Or he says there are people who have the audacity to attack policemen. Think about this. When God tells us in Romans 13 to submit to those who are in authority over us, and they treat the President of the United States like he's a little boy, or their governor, or their mayor, and it's interesting that the Lord was angry, and the cloud, verse 10, departed, and behold, Miriam became a leper. I mean, to the point that she was white as snow. And Aaron looked on that and said, she's a leper, which means that her skin is going to fall off her face. Leprosy, if you remember, we preached on leprosy. It's a terrible, terrible thing that happened in Bible times. And Aaron says, boy, I am so sorry. And the Lord, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Please forgive me, Moses. Now, he doesn't just say, God, forgive me for talking back to Moses. He says, Moses, forgive me. And verse 12, let not her be as one dead whom the flesh is half consumed. He says, don't let her live like that. And so what does Moses do? Moses said, yeah, okay. You ask for it, baby. You're going to get it. I warned you, don't ever talk to me like that again. No, that's not what he says. And the Bible tells us that Moses cried unto the Lord and said, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Why? Because he was the meekest man on planet earth. And verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? So let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received to us again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp. Now think about that. That meant her private sin became public. And the scripture tells us that that the whole camp had to sit around and wait for a week for her to get over what was happening to her. In verse 16, afterward the people removed and pitched in the wilderness. So, we see here that instead of being vindictive, Moses gave it to God. And the thing is, when you and I are the object of ridicule, do we tend to want that person that hurt us to be hurt? Oh, not physically. Now, some people physically. But what about emotionally? You want to see them cry. You want to see them hurt like they hurt you. Well, if that is your attitude, then that is not meekness. Now that brings me to the fourth point. We'll have to bring this to a close. What is the imitation of Moses' meekness? So, I just want to bring your attention to this. How do we have meekness? Because we say, well, I'm not that meek. As a matter of fact, I have a tendency to want that person to pay. Well, two things I want to bring to your attention, and we won't spend much time here, but that is, number one, give it to Jesus. What did Jesus say? When you are weak and when you are helpless and you have nothing that would help you, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And you'll find rest in your souls. So the scripture here is telling us that Jesus said, you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You got these struggles, you got these weaknesses, you got these attitudes that are wrong. I have plenty of meekness. You come to me and I will give you rest. And what a relief that is to recognize that sometimes we get to the point where we think, man, I'm not strong enough. God says you don't need to be strong enough. You take it to Jesus. You just go to Jesus. The second thing I would say is this. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, if we have been saved, the scripture tells us if we come to Christ and the Lord has saved us, then obviously He has given us the means by which to be meek. Now, maybe you haven't been saved. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. Jesus said, you just come to me and I'll take care of you. But if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible tells us what you need to do in order to have meekness. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 26 says that the fruit of the Spirit is, and you'll see in verse 23, meekness. So to walk in the Spirit is to walk under the influential power of the Spirit. It's not an issue of trying to do better. It's an issue of saying, okay, yes, Lord. See, this is meekness. Yes, Lord. And the Lord says, you know, what you need to do is you need to go make that right. Yes, Lord. What you need to do is to trust the Lord in everything. Yes, Lord. And if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And again, this is a great subject that we could spend weeks on, but it's important that we understand that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the problem is a lot of people are fighting God. A lot of people are resisting God. And guess who the Holy Spirit is? He is God. And the Holy Spirit is saying, just quit fighting and say, yes, Lord. So what do you do when you're, you know, this wrong attitude comes up about somebody and the Holy Spirit says, that's wrong? You say, yes, Lord. Maybe the Holy Spirit says, you need to go and make that right. You say, yes, Lord. So, the meekness of Moses, what an incredible, incredible person. Now, that didn't make him perfect. We're going to see that. That doesn't mean that he didn't struggle with pride sometimes. Didn't mean that at all. It didn't mean that he never got angry. Doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that he willingly submitted to God. So the nature of his meekness was, Lord, I will do whatever you say. It took him 80 plus years to get to that point. You know, we could live, we are, you know, we have the capacity, of course, to live 80 plus years, right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to take 80 plus years to learn that. And you can count on this. You're going to be tested. And the way you respond is going to, in many ways, show whether you have imitated the meekness of Moses. Now, Lord, bless us now. Help us to be willing to do those things you would have us to do. Lord, give us meekness. Lord, we come to Jesus because He is meek. And you tell us in your word to come unto Him. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us to live under His influence. Bless us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, in His holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.